views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
Are you ready to get fired up about Power Up Radio with Dr. Pat? This new show is unleashed, unshaken, unstoppable, as Dr. Pat brings mind-blowing news conversations with top world thought leaders unleashed like never heard before. Conversations covering leading edge and headline-worthy topics from pop culture to presidents, sex to spirituality, surviving to thriving. Dr. Pat is powered up and you don't want to miss it. Think authentic and spontaneous, fun, no matter what. Power Up Radio starts now.
Welcome to Power Up Radio here. This is me, Dr. Pat, and I'm joined here by Terry J. Walker. You'll hear from her in a hot second. I want to thank you for tuning us in and turning us on. One of the things that I'm really struck by is I'm struck by a conversation around promises and keeping your word. And what's fascinating about this is you don't really but have to turn on a headlines to make a decision as to whether promises are being kept or not kept. And what I mean by that is it doesn't matter where you fall on the political scale or what country you're actually living in. The question is, do promises mean what they did mean once before? And I'll just let me tell you a little bit here about it. For example, I was, and this is just one thing, but this is a big thing, right? Coming up for the holidays. I was being sent something very important. And what it said was that if you send it and you get the priority mail, it can get to a location on the day that it's supposed to, today, November 1st. And so you're checking, and you're looking and seeing where it is, and it goes from Georgia, not to Seattle where I am, but it's Georgia to San Jose or something in California, and then from there, it's going to get here. And so you're watching this and you're watching the history, right? And you're tracking the history of it. And you're thinking to yourself, now, okay, wait a minute, it's going to go over there from Georgia. And then it's still in Georgia on the 30th, right? But then it goes from Georgia to San Jose, California. I don't know, I guess that's shorter. But then it gets there and you're thinking, well, wait a minute, am I going to get it? And so everything says you're going to get it until it then says arriving late. Now, that is a promise. That's one example of a promise. But what do we do with that? If this is something that they absolutely guarantee, if you buy this particular option, it's going to get you from over there to over here, and you're watching it and you're tracking it. It's like on time. But then a light bulb goes on and you say, San Jose at 11:27 p.m. last night, the 31st. And you're thinking, but I'm not going to lose faith. I'm going to believe it when they say it gets here. What I love about this is, did they say that it had to get here in a work day? Or did they kind of say, as I'm looking at my phones, because I'm getting a million messages about it, did they say, and then I get this now text at 2:08, and it says delivered to Big Sur, California, like now. Well, there is no way that we are going to get that today. If it's delivered to Big Sur, California, how is it going to get here? So now I'm starting to think, wow, did they have the right address on it? Was it sent to the right place, right? it's priority mail, and it's, you know, says it's going to get to someplace. And now I'm thinking about it, and probably Linda's trying to just figure it out, like where it is. Now I'm starting to wonder, was it sent to the right state? It was sent to my P.O. box. But the question is for Linda, was it, did it actually say that it was going to come to the right place? So here's what happens when there's an agreement that's made. And you make an agreement and you hold the faith that if something's going to happen, it's going to happen in the way that whomever it is that's saying it's going to happen, it's going to happen in that way. And you plan your life accordingly, because you do, you plan your life. And when things don't turn up in the way you thought, how do we evaluate the impact? Now, today, I'm talking about USPS. That's just today. But today's show, with my very special guest, Terry J. Walker, who is an author, a motivational speaker. She is a workshop facilitator, leader. She is a business entrepreneur. She is somebody that has worked and works in a corporate setting. And in any moment of any day, how do you determine whether or not you guide your life by promises? And what happens when they're not kept? And so today we're going to take you on a journey of what promises are and what they're not. And let me just be clear, I'll define that. But in the meantime, the question really becomes, what if this particular package was something that was so important to you? What would you do? Do you start calling Linda and say, Linda, can you please try to find out if this was even sent to the right address? Was it sent to maybe the wrong P.O. box? Was it sent to the wrong state? Is there a reason that, you know, here we are? So this thing that is not yet a broken promise, because by all respects, it's still November 1st. It can't get here November 1st, except that it now says your package will arrive later than expected, but it's still on its way. So what do you believe? Can you believe that your package will arrive later than expected, but it's still on your way? Are we able to let go of that and move on? Or is there a part of us that says, wait a minute, you didn't get it here the first time. How do I believe you're going to get it here when you say you are? That is such a simple, everyday thing. But think about throughout your day, how many times do you expect something from a form of a promise or an obligation and it doesn't happen? Terry, it's great to have you.
Hey, Dr. Pat, it's great to be here. Looks like it's a beautiful day in my world. Where's yours?
Yeah, it's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day, but we all been sitting here at the edge of our seat tracking this thing now for a bunch of days. And it's really clear to us that if it's in Big Sur, I don't even know where Big Sur is, California. I don't even know where that is. But what it says, it's been delivered. So when it says it's delivered, and it's not in transit, so then I start to wonder if they actually had the wrong address. I mean, what would you do if you saw something like that? I mean, can you just imagine what all of the emotions are around this? And Linda, if you're listening to this, it really does say deliver to Big Sur. So if you could just check that they have the right address, that would be fun. So what do you think about that? I mean, everything's in transit, update. And then it says USPS, the box, delivered. But then it says delivered 128, Big Sur, California. I am not in Big Sur. What do you make of that? And what would you do about that, Ms. Terry?
Oh, my gosh. I'd probably blow a gasket, which I've been known to do. anybody that knows me knows that that's probably what would happen. I would be on the phone talking to them and saying, when are you going to get it here? And have my expectation that it should have already been here. But
I'm serious. It says delivered to Big Sur, California. And I'm saying, Linda, you better be calling somebody, because this thing started to look like it was going sideways when it went to California. And so I'm sitting
sideways,
and I'm sitting here to Jessica and Linda. And if you both are listening to this, somebody better take a look at where this thing was sent and get on the phone, because we don't live in Big Sur, California. Hello.
Well, you know, you've heard the saying, everything went south, and being as you're in Washington, I think it went south in more ways than one.
Well, you know, this is really interesting from a lot of different perspectives. And one of the perspectives is that what should we believe in? And should we just expect that when you work with an agency or you work with a company, that it's really a crapshoot as to what actually will happen or what won't?
Well, you know, when you were talking about all of this and talking about promises and promises being kept, the words of Maya Angelou came to mind. When someone shows you who they are, believe them the first time. And, you know, a lot of times we end up getting our hearts hurt and our feelings hurt, or we get angry or we feel guilty or any of that kind of stuff. And one of the things I've had to learn to come to terms with when promises are broken, and I've had quite a few, and I just had one recently the other day when you were talking to me about this, there are ways that we can either handle it or we can continue to move on. Is it the end of the world? No. But the other part of it is, just recently I had someone that broke a promise to me just in the last few days. And it was a project that was being held, that was going to be, I was going to have help with. And it turned out that I got put off yet again. And with that being said, I had two choices. I could have either blown in my gasket. I could have crawled up in a ball. Or I recall that some very wonderful mentor said to me very recently, you are enough. And when they said that resonated with me after this promise got broke yet again. And I said, I can do this myself. Mm-hmm. And I will figure this out. Mm-hmm. And so we have a choice. We always have choices, as you well know, that how we handle things, again, being a Jack Canfield trainer, E plus R equals O. Events plus response equals the outcome. So how are you going to handle the situation where everything went south for you today? It's a package that's obviously very important. So yeah. What are we going to do about it?
What you do about it is you hope that Jessica and Linda are listening to the show. And that you say to Linda, you need to get on the phone and call the post office before everybody goes home today. And somebody needs to find out what address exactly was put on the envelope with the right zip code, right to the bottom line. But when I looked it up the other day, I thought to myself, well, wait a minute. I think it's the right address. I think it's going to the right place. And so you hope that people are going to pick it up and find out where things are. Now, it's not always that simple.
No.
Because I studied promises, better known in the field of psychology as psychological contracts. And when we look at psychological contracts and we look at what that means, it's not something that we can easily look at and make a decision at. And so, you know, even today, as I'm looking at the show today and what we're doing today and what we had planned to do today, it's not going according to the plan, right?
Right.
That's the kind of thing, it doesn't really much matter, right? Because it's not my first rodeo. But what about other things? What about promises that are not kept in relationship? What are promises that are not kept in the job? What happens when, you know, we lose sight of the things that are done and not done, and somewhere along the way, we discover that it just ain't gonna work out the way we thought? What do we do? When we come back, we're gonna talk about what promises mean, what psychological contracts are, what they're not, and what are the consequences? What did I discover in a 10-year research project that had to do with broken promises between people? But when you talk about the workplace, what is that thing that results, for example, in the workplace that can happen to people, colleagues that work together, promises that are made, things that are supposed to happen but don't happen? What does that all turn to? And then what? Let's take a short break, everybody. Terry J. Walker joining me here today. We're going to talk about what's coming up for her. We got a great new show coming that she's going to be part of. She has fantastic books, but she knows what it's like to walk the journey and stumble across series of broken promises, series of promises that are kept, and series of what not knowing what to do. Thank goodness for me. I got a few folks right here that know how to say, oopsie, let me find out where something went.
Hint.
let me tell you, Linda's already on it. Let's take a short break, everybody. We'll be right back.
To Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasek each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the Golden Age, and it provided the truth and the answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net.
If you've ever had a broken heart, you know how painful that can be, and how long it can sometimes take to heal it. I'm Megan Edge, author of The Heart's Journey, Healing Hearts, Oracle Cards, and Guidebook, published with Balboa Press and Hay House. In The Heart's Journey, I share with you my own heartbreak and how I healed it through the beautiful hearts that found me in nature. From taking photographs of these hearts for myself, I've created this beautiful toolkit, which includes the guidebook, which has my story, how to work with oracle cards as a healing tool, and the story of each of these hearts as they cross my path. I've also created a beautiful journal. There's a pen, a bookmark, and of course, the 42 Healing Hearts Oracle Cards. You can order The Heart's Journey, Healing Hearts Oracle Cards, and Guidebook through my website, meganedge.ca, through Balboa Press, Amazon, and many other places online or your local shops. I look forward to hearing about your heart's healing.
Have you ever wondered if there's a way to heal the deep, hidden inner issues, wounds, beliefs, and traumas? The Journey into Spiritual Healing engages people in all areas of their lives to heal themselves and others. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio as Dr. Jaffe brings conversations of healing of body, mind, and spirit as he merges the excellence of traditional medicine with the beauty of spiritual healing. For more information about Dr. Jaffe, this show, and his work, visit drjaffemd.com.
What is holding you back from living the life you are meant to live? Why is it vital to believe in something bigger than yourself? Are you in physical or emotional pain? Tune in monthly to Vibrant Purposeful Living. Awaken the vibrant life within you with Lou Paradise and Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Lou's passion is to help everyone experience positive solutions for life. Find out more about Lou with Vibrant Purposeful Living at louparadise.com.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Welcome back to the Power Hour, right? Welcome back to this. You know, I'll tell you what, we could go into a lot of different directions on this. One of the directions I'm not going to go in on this show, but I just want to tell you what one of them is. I was watching a TV show last night, and I thought that we had like a amendment or a constitutional thing on Roe versus Wade. I thought we had that handled. What I didn't understand is how it is that if you have something done in your country at a federal level, you can have a state like Missouri acting all like crazy people. And I'm not saying that the people in Missouri are like this. I'm just talking about the director in Missouri that is of the medical center that's doing some crazy things with women that have been raped. And, you know, the latest that in an open hearing that we showed is we got a man supposed to be responsible for, you know, making sure that the law is upheld and do no harm. And taxpayer dollars are going to this guy that is keeping a spreadsheet on when women that come through Planned Parenthood get their periods. Now, Lord of mercy. I could think of a million other things that that man should be doing. And yet, if it wasn't for how connected we are now in this digital world, then none of us would know what's going on there. And what's happening and how these laws are not being kept according to our government and what we think should protect us. We go through this across the board. One of them is the repeal of the psychological contract that has to do with the workplace. That's one of the bodies of work that I researched and a paper that I presented. And my focus had to do with the relationship between two people, your immediate boss or your boss or your oversight, whoever that is, and you. And if you listen to this testimony that happened a day ago in Missouri, and you listen to the woman that was running the clinic, and tears coming down her face and describing the detail of what these women went through for the second time around. You know, it's bad enough if you've been raped to have one pelvic exam and now to have another pelvic exam on top of that for no medical reason. And you heard this woman, maybe we can get a clip of that for later, but you heard this woman describe it and how inhumane it is. That's the other end of the spectrum with broken promises that has nothing to do with the package. But you know, there are signs along the way, Terry, for us, where we see things. So for example, and I want to ask you about this in your own experience, you know, like when I saw the package go to San Jose, and I said to Linda, the package went to San Jose like yesterday, we probably should have picked up the phone and said, what the heck? Instead, Linda and I said, wonder why the package went to San Jose, and then we went along our day. That's what happens when we get signs along the way that promises are going to be broken. Because the hardest thing to face, Terry, is the inclination that something that was to happen, and even something that was to happen protected by law, is not going to happen. What is your experience with this notion that either somebody said to you, I promise, or not that explicit, implied that one end of the deal? What is your experience? You know, and it doesn't have to be, what's your lifetime been like for that?
Oh, wow. There's been a lot of them, and you know, I'm blessed to the fact that I've been able to overcome all of that. But again, what I said earlier about Maya Angelou, believe them the first time. But I try to have faith in people, and I try to believe that you know they're going to do the right thing because that's how I feel that I'm trying to do. But I have experienced a lot of that in the corporate America world and, you know, recently experienced it not too long ago or in the last year, where there have been promises made, but they were not kept. They would tell us one thing and then they would do another. And then the right hand never knows what the left hand's doing. And it basically takes it down to a point where, you know, it becomes a toxic environment. No one trusts anybody. And we go to fear-based living. And everybody's afraid of losing their job. And other people are afraid that they're going to get thrown under the bus. And other people are throwing people under the bus. And all in an effort to keep their job and all in fear. And you can either, you know, you can use the acronym of fear in two different ways. Face everything and run, or forget everything and run, or face everything and rise. And, you know, I've kind of decided this round that I was going to face everything and rise, because I was just not going to let other people who were breaking promises and turning it into a toxic environment drag me down into the weeds with them. Yeah. And that's when my life truly began to change. And just like I said earlier about the fact that I had a promise broken recently over the fact of helping with a project that I really needed to get done. And instead of, you know, getting all upset and saying, this will never get done and I don't know how to do it. Again, a mentor told me recently that I was enough. And so instead of getting tore up about it, I just went out and figured out a way that I was going to do it. And I started doing it. Mm. And we all have that capability within us, but we all have the opportunity. You know, we end up in an environment with work, especially, and in the corporate world, especially, or that's been my past, is that we end up getting put down into the weeds, or we wind up in a toxic environment. I read not long ago in a business article was that when some of your most passionate people go quiet, you're in trouble. Mm. And that's exactly what's taking place in some of in the workplace that I have been in. And when the most passionate people go quiet, there's trouble ahead. And mm-hmm. you can foresee, you can see it in the long run that the company is struggling and it's going to continue to struggle. And that's a problem. But, you know, it's because when you continue to do the same thing, you're going to continue to get the same result. And nobody wants to listen. They just want to rule with an iron fist.
Yeah.
They're way or the highway.
Yeah. I mean, what you're talking about is when it happens once, right? You know, you have a sense of, man, it's just life happens. Things go wrong.
Right.
What I find interesting is from where I sit, you know, and this is what I found in my research. You know, one of the things I discovered is the direct relationship between broken promises and feelings of security.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is, you know, when you look at feelings of security, or you what I'm thinking and looking at is, I'm looking at how many times does an effect like that happen. And what I've come to realize is, if you just pull the workplace out as an example, people are expecting less from the workplace, the companies, but they have not left. They had not taken their immediate bosses and their coworkers off the hook, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, while they are willing to say, come on, this is like old news. We don't trust the companies to keep their word. And that changed with the repeal of the psychological contract, the big one, where you work really hard, you give your best years of your life, you go ahead and you do all that. And what happens on the other side of it is that you get a pension, you get health benefits, you ride off into the sunset, so to speak. But when that broke, And Exxon was the first. And I think when I worked for the phone company, we were the second that implemented a mass downsizing. And those changed the rules. And hence, I was part of that. And I went off then to study the consequences of broken promises, job insecurity. I went on that journey for a good 10 years because it had never happened before.
Right.
How do you fire somebody? Like my boss was telling me, fire Janine with 29 years and 11 months of service. Fire Janine. And I looked at my boss like, you got to have lost your mind. I don't care who you are, doctor, whoever you are, you clearly have lost your mind.
Right.
This is a woman, you know, first of all, nothing wrong with the performance. And why did she become a headcount? And you know, Terry, my job was in an HR position to implement the downsizing. And I was all for it when it was going to be cool. We're early retirement, right?
Mm-hmm.
This was so poorly done that they kept the people that were leaving there for 3 months to train other people.
Yeah, exactly.
What?
So they could pay them less.
But
and
what
they didn't have anything to give them at the end, at the light at the end of the tunnel, where they've pulled, you know, given the best years of their life. You know, the days where people have are staying in a job or a career or a certain company for their entire life is gone. Mm-hmm. You know, those things aren't happening anymore. And you know, what I've come to realize and what I have said for a long time is, you know, there's people and then there's corporations. And corporation is a thing run by people. But what kind of people are running it? Because they're all climbing the ladder to try to get to the top so that hopefully nobody can get them. And they're untouchable. Once you get to the top, it seems like you're untouchable. But everybody else has got their nose to the grindstone down there pounding the pavement, whereas I was in sales and beating the streets. But that's the ones that they're going to go after. Or the one, but they don't have anything for you to sell, maybe, for example. And they don't want to grow and they don't want to expand. And when you try to talk to them about expansion and growth, I mean, I was always taught when you come to the table, instead of coming with a problem, come with a solution. But I think some of the time now that those things are even gone.
I think they're gone because part of what we're seeing is people forgetting about the truth and trust, the truth and trust, right?
Right. Integrity.
Integrity. And integrity. So part of this too, and this was fascinating to me because I wrote the dissertation, folks, and people have asked me to put this online and publish it, and I don't know how to do that, except that it is published already, but apparently you have to pay for it. And one of the things that I discovered from this research is, and I want to thank Dr. Sherilyn Grandrose, who was my advisor and literally got me through this. But she said something to me interesting. She said, you've got a big, big project here, Pat. Split it in half and do this part. So I did it in two parts. One was I did this part to graduate, and the other one I did after. And what I discovered two separate things with two separate directions, Terry, was I got to, in these studies, of course, present all the empirical data, like the numbers, like charts with numbers. But I got to ask people, hundreds of them. I have 1,200 pages of interview notes. I got to ask them things. And you know, they've said things to me, right? Here's what they said. Here's one. I will read this to you before we go to break. This is just one quote in one of the sections because I had to break this stuff down into a lot of categories and do a lot of other stuff. And it was just like, what the heck? I used to believe that the company was obligated to employees, even though I never really stated so. I don't think they're obligated anymore to do things they used to do. I'm now more accountable for my own career. I am now more accountable for my own performance, right? That's when I ask them about obligations, because promises are obligations. They are not expectations. It's not an expectation. When somebody said, you're going to send something priority mail, and it's going to go from here, and it's going to go to there, and I now know that that's not really what happened with the package. It did go from here to where it was supposed to go, but we had a little human error. But for the outsider that doesn't know that, the emotional reaction to this, right? And so then what they say is people expect more now from their immediate supervisors or second level supervisors than ever before. Yeah. Right, Terry? Because the company is MIA. The company is MIA.
Yep.
They're willing to relinquish the notion of an obligation at the corporate level. What that means is they don't care if they keep their promises or not. Now, this is not me just talking my opinion. This is the research that hundreds and thousands of people have done since I published this. And they go on to say, and they're willing to relinquish the notion of obligation at corporate level. They're willing to take on accountability and control for themselves. I will do this. I am willing to be accountable, but boy, I've got to have a supervisor that understands that I need help. One that allows me to take time off, that gives me some flexibility in the schedule, that does promote me to higher ups. And it goes on and on and on in talking about it, right?
Right.
Yep. It goes on and on and on in talking about it. And I see Linda. Do we have Linda on the line here, Zach?
Yes, we do.
Where's Linda? Let's get Linda on and see what Linda's got to say.
All right.
Linda.
You are on air, Linda.
Linda, are you there?
Hello? Yes.
What do you think about this? I've been talking about the post office that...
I know, and I've been waiting for you to pick up for me. So,
now that we've all
made up stories about the post office and getting it where it needs to be, very interesting. So there were two packages mailed on the same day by the same person, one to us and one to someone else. And the package in Big Sur, well, I was asked if I got tinctures, and I was like, what?
If you got what?
Tinctures. So what happened is the post office, well, no, not the post office.
Oh, here we go.
The person that gave me the numbers gave me the numbers for the tinctures that were going to Big Sur and didn't give us the number that was going to Washington State. So
the tracking number.
Yes. So I got the correct tracking number now, and we were laughing pretty hard about it because it was pretty funny. Because
and I'm sitting here talking about the post office that I'm probably going to have to send them a formal letter about my USPS people.
Yes, you're going to owe them an apology. I told you not to make up a story. Okay, so your package... that was not delivered at 1:28 today. It was delivered at 9:36 this morning.
Oh, wow.
I'm sitting here all day, and I'm like, oh, my God, when am I going to get the package? And when I got to go up to, but am I getting the tinctures anyway? But like a
no,
bonus?
The tinctures went to Big Sur where they were supposed to. The mix-up was you got the wrong tracking number. So the post office did what they were supposed to. It was something else that happened and transpired in between. But, yes, I get it, and I get the fact that sometimes things happen like that, and, yes, we all react, and, yes, we all get excited. And so this time, okay, we have an error in place. Human error, not the post office error. But that doesn't mean you trust the post office, because I'll tell you, things get lost because this person was telling me.
Well, but not as often as we can imagine in the post office.
Well, because this person told me that they had sent something else, and it never got to where it was supposed to get to, ever. It disappeared in action.
But
and
I mean,
it was candy. It was candy.
Oh. Okay, so let's get back to the topic. And Linda, don't hang up. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to pick this up. Because here's the question for everybody. How are you personally affected by, one, things that are out of your control, but two, even if things don't happen your way, are there precautions you need to take? If I would have waited 5 minutes or looked at the chat to bring you on, I probably wouldn't sent 5 Skype text messages to Jessica about something that wasn't going to happen because this package didn't come, that actually did come, and we didn't know that came. What is it about the pause button that everybody should learn before we go BS crazy? And I can't say what BS stands for. Let's take a short break. We'll be right back. Terry J. Walker is going to walk us through and say, let me tell you what I learned about I am Terry J. Walker. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to shift your current beliefs about death? From debilitating pain and loss. Follow Angie Corbett-Kuiper as she shares that through choice, present moment awareness, and keeping an open mind that anything is possible, even in death. Tune in to Beyond Proof Radio with Angie, redefining death and loss, every first and third Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit AngieCorbettKuiper.com.
It's time to get your life back on Burn Bright Today with Jennifer Marcinelli. Tune in each month on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Learn to move from the darkness of burning out to the light of burning bright. Jennifer is redefining stress and the energetic causes of burnout, shining a light on process to get your life back. For more information about Jennifer and her work, visit BurnBrightToday.com.
Tune in to The Truth Is Funny with Colette Stephan each Wednesday at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. This hit show will have you thinking outside the box and riding the wave of infinite potential. Join Colette on the Higher Self Network, inspiring listeners to shine their brilliance and ensure success while roaring with laughter as they recognize the humor of the giant cosmic joke. Visit TheTruthIsFunny.com.
Has your buzz for life buzzed off? Feeling ignored, invisible, and wondering if this is really all there is? The years go by faster as we gain momentum. You're halfway there. Are you gathering speed or puttering out? Hit your stride for the liberating half of life. Comfortable in your skin? You can do better than that. Tune in to Discovering You Again Radio every fourth Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific as host Susan Axelrod encourages listeners to decide what they want, get inspired to action, and face challenges head on. Host Susan Axelrod pulls no punches, encouraging you to grab the brass ring and soar. For more information about Susan, go to www.whatwillyourlegacybe.com.
Okay, I don't hear the music. I wonder if we're live.
You are, Dr. Pat.
All right. Well, there we go. We went live without hearing the music, but that's the way we roll. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. Look, this is kind of cool. We're talking about broken promises. Terry, I know like you dropped in here today, and I want to turn this over to you. And Linda, you're still here. tell folks how they can find out about you. How can they can get a copy of your books, please?
Oh, well, you can find me online at my website at www.iamterryjwalker.com, and that's T-E-R-R-Y. And then, of course, we've got some exciting things happening that's going to be changing a lot of that, but you can certainly find me there at this moment in time.
I love it. This moment in time. Linda, are you still here? Where'd that Linda go? She's probably talking with the post office.
Linda. Apologizing for you.
Did Sean, did we drop Linda?
Linda should be there.
Linda is here.
Oh, my God. What are you doing? Snoozing? Break that snooze button. So, Terry, Linda, I'll start now with you, Terry. My second study that I did discovered this. Are you ready?
Yes.
It said that, look, here's a promise. Here's a result. Now, if the promise is made and the result doesn't turn out the way you want, there's a thing that could change the way you react and feel about it. And in psychology, it's called a moderator. I studied what happens if you have this thing called procedural justice. And you know what that means? It's like how the thing was done. So does it matter if a promise is broken, but yet the way that the promise was broken, how it was explained to you, do you think that that would soften the blow? Linda, Terry, Terry, you go first.
It could. Mm. I mean, it really would depend on how it was explained to me to see, you know, I mean, everybody breaks a promise. I mean, nobody can ever really, you know, hold on to every single promise that's made, whether it's a relationship or any of that. We can only do what we can in this moment in time. Mm. The one thing that I found that the biggest promises and the most, the hardest promises is the one that is broken is the ones we make to ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the guilt and the grief and the anger and the frustration come in. Or maybe sometimes we have a false belief that someone else is going to do something and then they don't, and then we get our feelings hurt too. So I think a lot of it, I mean, there's always extenuating circumstances that can cause someone to not be somewhere where they're supposed to be at a particular time or a particular place. But I think how we choose to handle that is going to resolve whatever the consequence or the outcome is going to be. How are you going to handle that? And that's the million-dollar question. Event plus response equals the outcome.
Mm.
And how you respond to it is how it's going to, you know, you can either make it worse or you can make it better. But it's totally your choice at that point.
Linda, what do you think?
I was too intense on what Terry was talking about. Ask me my question again.
Never mind. okay.
You ask see me my mug? Question because I have
no,
an
wait.
Opinion.
You see this mug? Okay. So what I'm trying to say is, if a promise is broken to you, does it matter whether or not somebody does it in a way that's honorable, let's say, or not? For example, if you're fired from a job because of downsizing or whatever you're doing, right? But so you know how many people are upset about this mug? And am I supposed to show that mug? It has a DD on it, and it's trademarked. Probably get in trouble for that. But when something like a Dunkin' Donuts decides to change their name to Dunkin', some old school people are like, why? And, you know, it's fascinating because we were going to change the color of our network. And the minute we started fooling around, the people are like, why did you take down to purple? So, Linda, do you think it would have mattered if we sent an email out to everybody and said, you know, we're changing up some things on our website. You know, just be patient with us. We're trying. Do you think it would have mattered, or would have people said something like, oh, no, bring the purple back? Does it matter how you do something? Does it matter? Does it soften the blow?
No.
Okay, that's what I'm saying, Linda.
No, it doesn't soften the blow. It doesn't. You've got to build into it. It doesn't matter what you do and how you do it. People are not going to be happy until they go react like me. Okay, so I react. You got excited about the post office. You reacted. You got everybody else reacting, but then we didn't really have the story. True?
Yeah.
Yeah. So now we're calm because we know that it's where it's supposed to be in the post office and it's safe, and we deal with that now. But downsizing, that's a whole nother thing.
Yeah.
No matter what you do and how you try to soften the blow to somebody, that doesn't work. It'll never work. Never.
Yeah. I mean, when I look at this paper that Sean just posted on social media, and I look at this, and Sean, I want to keep the Facebook live show running, please. And when I look at what I wrote in this document, so here's what I want to ask both of you. I'm not kidding. When I did this research, I buried this, right? 1,200 pages of people that felt betrayed, right? 1,200 pages of people that talked about work feeling unsafe, that something like a downsizing made them start to not even trust their coworkers anymore.
Absolutely. I mean,
pages of this, documents. When I was done with this, and then they made me do this other study with Boeing, right? And I studied the environment at Boeing. The union asked me to come in as one of the companies and do this second body of work. And at the time, you could see that what was important to them, especially a company like Boeing, is for people to be trustworthy. Everything about building an airplane is based on trust and honesty, right?
Right.
There's so much that, and we're seeing the effects right now of what my study pointed out, like maybe it took a while to get there. But for both of you, how hard is it, Terry, from your life experience, and then you, Linda, what does it take to recover and to heal from a broken promise? Especially, let's talk about the workplace. Did you say, oh boy, Linda?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I did say, oh boy. So you want me to answer that or Terry?
Well, I tried to get Terry, but she didn't.
Well, Linda was talking.
Terry went zero dark 30 right there on me. but go ahead, Linda. Let's have you start.
Okay. So I can give you
And then, Sean, just so you know, we could keep playing this on TTR, and let's keep playing it on Facebook, and somebody can figure out how to do that technologically.
Okay, so here's my answer to you. How long does it take to get over? A very long time. I can tell you that when a president, a company that I worked for, the president of the company came out, and because everybody was worrying about downsizing, and that's all they were talking about. So the president came out, did a message public for everybody in the company. Everybody heard the same thing. We're not going to be downsizing, blah, 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 blah. A month later, he declares we're going to go down by 2,000 people in the company. Okay? That's the president of the company.
Oh, yeah.
You can't go any higher than that.
Right, especially, right, was that a scenario where the president of the company said, oh, everything's good, budget's approved, or something?
Yes, that's what I said. Everything is fine, everything's perfect, we're not going to downsize, blah, 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 blah. Well, the blah, blah, blah went out the window a month later, and we started a month later downsizing 2,000 people. You want to talk about bedlam, and you want to talk about people and trust, and nobody trusted anybody. They didn't trust their bosses anymore, because here we are saying no downsizing, and some of these people have been around a very long time, a very long time, and it takes a very long time to get over that.
Yeah.
That's really betrayal from the president of the company.
Yeah. Do you think, and Terry, let me, you are still in corporate America. Linda stayed longer than I did because I was one of those people and I refused to fire Janine and said to my boss, take my head count. And literally she was trying to grab my thing off my neck there, my badge. But let me tell you about loyalty. And then I want to hear what you say. Ask me what my corporate ID number was from working for the phone company for 24 and a half years. So what I want to leave everybody with is this question. What else is possible today in your world? Thank you, Sean. Thank you, Zach. Thank you, Kat. Thank you, Jessica, Linda, Terry, and everybody out there for tuning us in and turning us on. And more to come as we relaunch Power Up Radio for 2020. We'll see you next time.
Are you fired up? Thank you for listening to Power Up Radio with Dr. Pat Basile, Unleashed, Unshaken, Unstoppable. If you missed any part of this show, subscribe to the podcast on the drpatshow.com or search Power Up Radio on any of your favorite podcast platforms.